Welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club podcast for your listening pleasure, where each week we talk about a single topic from a geeky, nerdy perspective, but not this week, so I just wasted a few seconds of your time with that introduction. This week we're doing what we call a Common Briefing Program. This is the end of Cycle 11, meaning all of our cast members have hosted an episode, and we're back to me to talk about some happenings, some news in a more relaxed format.
Woo-woo!
So, the three of us are each going to get some time on the floor to chitty-chat, chiggity-chat.
Chiggity-chiggity-chat-chat.
It makes it really cool when you slow it down like that.
Chiggity-chat.
Chiggity-chat.
It actually almost sounds classy when you say it. So wait, is all that like late 80s, early 90s, like hip-hop jargon actually the classiest vernacular we can imagine simply if we slow down the playback?
I mean, there's a chance. I think we should probably find out.
100% no.
100%.
Not even going to think about it. There's no way.
All right. With that swift rejection of my comedy premise, let's introduce the people on the docket today.
Ooh. Hello. I am Laura Kramer, and I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you what I'm talking about right now.
You can. Doesn't matter. We can just keep on rolling.
My theme will be food. I'll tell you more soon.
Hello, everyone. This sultry sound is Ryan Mossbarger, brand new audio aphiliac. So
that's not where I thought that word was going to go.
Neither did I, but it happened.
What a journey.
It was a journey for both of us, or all three of us, and maybe a handful of other listeners. I'm probably going to talk about, I got two topics, but the main one I'm going to talk about is Project Stream, which I don't know if you guys have heard about it or not, but I'll probably dig into it a little bit. And our domains or sand, or I've never been on a comic briefing program, so I have no idea how to.
Welcome.
They're all technically domains. Okay. So fun fact for listeners, if you actually listen to this show, you'll know that many of these cast members take umbrage with the way I have written our script. But before I wrote the script, I actually defined every weird term that we use. And technically, a topic, you know, the central point of an episode, is a domain. But it is a specific kind of domain. These definitions get really technical. And I am
really glad that I never absorbed that information. I may have read it, but I have no memory.
I am burdened with this horrible knowledge I have created for nobody's use. So
your brain must be a weird place to be.
It's cool. Yeah, I'm also, I have some energy right now, but I just wolfed down a full Chipotle meal because they deliver to my house now.
Yeah.
I was actually on a walk editing an episode on my phone because I can do that now. And then I was like, oh shit, my Chipotle is going to be here in 3 minutes. So I ran home and I just ate Chipotle.
As one does.
So that's where I am. How have your guys' days been going?
My day was pretty good. So for those of you who don't know, I am no longer the schedule planner at my Apple store, which means that I don't sit in front of a computer for 40 hours a week, which is awesome. But I was stepping in to help support the new schedule planner because she had a short week this week. And man, did it suck. I was just sitting there and I couldn't move around and it was just so slow.
I don't get to sit in front of computers at my job, and I would love to.
No.
What is your current position, I guess?
I just became what is essentially kind of in-store IT and also the merchandising lead of the store.
A little bit more mobile. That does sound like a more mobile job.
Significantly. But yeah, pretty cool stuff.
How about you, Ryan? How are you doing today?
Doing all right. I'm coming off of a 3-day marathon of all-day meetings.
About
a variety of subjects I'm not allowed to talk about. So
awesome.
You could say that I'm ready for the weekend.
Well, I think with that, we're all nice and relaxed, and I'm about to hit this carbo load like a fucking freight train. So I say, let's move on to the rest of the episode.
Sounds Gucci.
So, hello, my name is Colin Ketchin. I forget if I even said that in the intro. If I did, oh well.
My name is Colin.
And I'm going to be talking about something that I did just today. We are recording this on Thursday, November 1st.
And when does it come out?
This episode comes out on the 9th, so okay. Just over a week from now. We are recording this on November 1st, and I've been struggling about what I want to talk about, because there's like been a lot of geek news that isn't quite in my wheelhouse, Project Stream came up. I had something I want to add on to that, but I want to let Ryan focus on the stream stuff because he probably can talk more about it than I can. So I'm thinking, what could I talk about? What could I do? So today I played several hours of the Fallout 76 beta. And I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about my experience because, boy howdy, is it a good one. So I just kind of want to talk about, because this game is going to be coming out about a week or so after this episode airs, and I would like to formally endorse it as head of Common Geeking Program for all that that means, because Fallout 76... is a bit different from previous Fallout games. Fallout is an open world, first person slash third person adventure action RPG.
I can see your Chipotle coming up through your facial expressions right now. It's real rough.
You missed the hiccups I was having before we pressed record.
Okay.
It's gotten
Chipotle
better.
Giveth, Chipotle take away. It's all what you kid.
Listeners, please reply to us as to whether you heard the struggle as Laura saw it. I want to know if I like saved it in the recording.
I don't think you did.
So at least Fallout 3, New Vegas, and 4, the last three Fallout games are developed by Bethesda Game Studios, and they've made Fallout 76. And there is one gigantic, enormous change. This game's multiplayer, which I think everybody knows, but mostly I just kind of want to recap the experience I had, which will allow me to dig into some of the systems and talk about why I think this is going to be a very cool and very important game. So, like all the Fallout games, you start in a vault, these underground habitats, domiciles made for people to ride out a nuclear war, and the nuclear war happened 25 years before you emerge from your vault. You get to make your own character. I spent about 45 minutes trying to make someone that looked like me, and once I slapped those glasses on there, dang, it was a much handsomer version of myself, and I'd rather live there now, but...
It's in the post-apocalyptic world. Where cannibalism and murder reign free.
Also, the first enemy I ran into was a tick that was about 2 feet in diameter, so...
Bleh.
Yeah, that's a new...
Sign me up.
So, first things first. Normally when you start a Fallout game, it's a role-playing game, so it has you build out your character. The stat system is pretty different in this game. You still have special, which is, I think, strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck. And each one of those is an action.
Seems like they need more stuff.
Thanks, Laura. I think each of those determines how your character functions. And usually, it's kind of like most role-playing games or like D&D, where you get a certain amount of stats, and then those are assigned to your slots. And that kind of dictates how your character plays through the game. Not so anymore, says Todd Howard. So the way that it works...
Evil laughing in the background.
The stat system, you start at 1 across the board. All of your stats are 1 at level 1. So at the beginning, everybody is exactly the same. And I find it interesting that a role-playing game doesn't put you into much of a role to play. You sort of have to build it as you go along. Now, the perks in these games that you get as you level up, typically they, you reach a certain level and it's like, hey, you have all these things you can add to your character that make your guns better. Laura, stop smiling at my Chipotle struggles.
Listen, I made no noise that time, and it was really hard for me.
You got a shit-eating grin on your face.
How do you even see my face? It's hiding behind my microphone.
That's what I was about to say. I can't see your mouth behind the mic, but when you smile, the corner peeks at the side like, hey, I'm making fun of you. So
I thought I was doing a really subtle job there.
So the stat system, every time you level up, you add a number to one of your stats, and your perks are dictated by cards. They're like playing cards, and each one falls into one of the 7 slots. Whatever level a certain stat is the number of cards you can put in that slot. So if I'm level 7 in intelligence, I could equip 7 intelligence perks. But if I'm only 2 in strength, I only get 2 strength perks. So as you play the game, it takes the simplification that Skyrim and Fallout 4 got really criticized for by saying, like, you can level up in anything, like, your class doesn't really matter, and everyone's like, well, now it's not a role-playing game. I think it took it so far that it's kind of a correction, where by stripping it down, they didn't box you into anything, and they made the choices you make more impactful. They have more of a noticeable effect on your character. So it starts you off easy, the way that Skyrim kind of is the whole way through, but you can really grow your character in different directions. And that was a lot of fun to sort of mess around with at the beginning, because there's a pack of cards, and I'm like, I'm going to drink water better. And then I did.
Sounds important. Also,
you're really selling me on this fantasy world. I can drink as much water as I want.
Yay. Without being attacked by 2-foot ticks. So,
now, the other thing about this is it is multiplayer. And the way that the multiplayer works is a little more intuitive than I ever imagined it could possibly be. So I want to tell you the story about Shadow Dancer. What I've noticed as you're walking through the game, you start without guns. You got to find stuff right away. So I'm running around. I'm like, I need guns because they're big ticks. There are beavers with spikes on their tails. There are blue frogs. There are swarms of bees that if you shoot once, all the bees disappear, which I'm not sure how that works.
You know, bees.
Maybe it just ricochets off of them inside the swarm, but it's very effective.
Sounds like Breath of the Wild.
And I'm running along, and on my screen, I see a little speaker icon in the distance and like a little trailer. I'm like, oh, there's a speaker in that trailer. So I run up to it, and it's a person. It wasn't a speaker, it was a person. And the way that the game works is as you get closer to someone, the louder they are. Much as it is in real life, where if somebody is talking, you can hear them. And it was kind of cool to just walk up to the person and be like, hey, are there any guns in here? He's like, no, I don't have anything. Like, walked out. I was like, that's pretty cool. And they weren't assholes to me. They were like, they were...
Well, they could be assholes to you even if they tried, because you're below the 5-level limit, right?
This is true. I can't be killed yet, and I can't kill them yet. But they were level 5, and they could have been killing each other. There were multiple of them, but they were just kind of running around. And one of the boys I was talking to was named Shadow Dancer. And now, I knew some of the multiplayer features, but I didn't know how they worked. So I ran into this person, and we are just like fiddling around. I'm like, how do you join a team? And he's like, I don't know. How do you join a team? You walk up to a person. We each troubleshoot the controls a little bit, and we're on the same team. We're like, hey, cool. I can see your quests now. This is great. The way it works is all your quests are in the top right. You can see what you're doing and what they're doing, and you can do either one. Which is really, really nice. It's not like a game like Destiny where everybody's doing the same thing. If we wanted, we could stay in the same team on the chat and hear each other and go our separate ways, or we can work together, even though I was underleveled and hadn't done the prerequisite quests. So the ability to run into somebody, talk to them, and join them, very, very straightforward. And I played with Shadow Dancer for the rest of my time playing, for about the 4 or 5 hours I just played today. We went on many fun adventures. We chased a possum for about 2 minutes and couldn't shoot it, which was pretty embarrassing.
Again, really selling me on the game.
We picked up a ton of wood because we wanted to build a camp, but mole rats attacked us while we were in the camp. So we're building our house around these 2 dead mole rats on the ground. And I'm like, huh, is there a way to get rid of these mole rats? Nope. So that's the centerpiece of our house. And it kind of just like a stinky place with turrets on it.
Sounds like a real domestic bliss simulator.
Yeah.
It really was kind of a delightful experience to just find a person and work with them. It's that pitch that games have always had for online play. But this is the first time I experienced it. And I wasn't like, wow, this is a raging douche hole. I was like, oh, it's somebody who just wants to explore this game as well. Totally positive vibes with everyone I ran up to. The ease of joining a system and trading and getting on teams and everything really sort of gets out of the way. And then as we're playing, I hear his phone go off. And then I say, is that the Star Trek The Next Generation doorbell tone? And he's like, oh, hell yeah, dude. And I'm like, no way, shit, what are you doing? It's like, oh yeah, I'm getting my 3rd Star Trek tattoo tomorrow. I'm like, no fucking way. He's going to get a sleeve of tattoos with the Enterprise and a Klingon bird of prey fighting each other down his sleeve and get Fallout on the other arm. I'm like, this is amazing.
Nice.
As someone who is very, very averse to...
Long story short, you booked a plane ticket, and now you guys are going to be best friends.
I'm going to the Midwest.
Yeah.
As someone who's generally averse to social experiences and games with strangers, this game made it so easy to jump in, choosing to explore or go on quests. There are some issues, I think, with the how easy it is to read some of the UI stuff and the questing details. And Fallout can get a little laggy as it is, and it gets even laggier when it's on the internet. So there are like some technical issues that I came to expect, but they didn't bother me because every time it happened, I could see other people dealing with the same struggle. And it was so improved by just having somebody there in a way that I didn't expect.
I am legitimately invested in your relationship with this guy. Are you friends now?
I added him on Xbox.
And I was going to say Facebook.
Has he accepted yet?
Yeah. No, I added him on Xbox. And we went through a whole other quest together. We went and investigated an airport. He had a gun I didn't have, so I gave him all the ammo I had for it. And he would give me all the ammo for my guns. And I was like, dude, I got a barbed wire bat. You got to get a barbed wire bat. And we found him one. It was just such a wonderful little thing where it's like, I've played a ton of Fallout. This, everything about this game is, it's pretty similar to Fallout 4 in a lot of mechanical ways. But everything has been fixed to work with, was this screenshot?
You guys have one face because you both have your screens, like your camera's facing, so you have one half of a face. So I'm looking at, well, whatever.
Yes, I see.
It wasn't important.
I lost your faces. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about Fallout 4. I know it's not a very technical thing, but it's a lot easier to get into the character. It's a lot easier to find people than I expected, and a lot more fun to work with them. The game tries to get out of your way as much as it can, and I think that it is, even after a few hours, the most impressive multiplayer experience I've had in a while in terms of novelty. And I think a lot of games are going to learn from this. Because other games I play, you know, like Destiny and Halo, I mean, they don't have this entropic way of getting you together with other people. I like it a lot, and I want to see more of it.
Nice.
I don't know if you guys have any other burning questions about Fallout 4.
I'd be interested to see if it persists. Like, what level were you guys when it all ended? I guess when you logged off today, what level?
I was level 6, and Shadow Dancer was level 7. There was another person running around with us who was level 22 that we never joined. Join teams with that person.
Yeah,
so, I'm curious. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
I'm just curious because you can start to kill people and it makes a difference,
mm-hmm.
or you can be killed after level 5. Like that's
correct.
Basically when you enter PvP. I'm interested to see the next time you log in, are you going to find another friend, or is it just going to be a dude teabagging you the entire time, or a dudette, like same div?
There is a system in the game, where if you repeatedly kill people, it will mark you as wanted.
Hmm.
So if you're going to run around being a douchemonger, the game will put a target on your back. And there was a guy named Not Matt Brody. That's not what it was, but it was something like that. But it was something like that. Not Matt Brody, I'm going to say, where I keep Shadow Dancer and I are building our hillside log cabin and planning our future together as I see Not Matt Brody is now wanted appear in the top left like 5 times. I'm like, fuck, I hope I don't run into this guy. And later, as we eloped to the airport, Not Matt Brody walks in the fucking door, and I'm like, dude, watch out for this guy. He killed a bunch of people. Like, get ready to help me fuck him up. And he was fine. He didn't do anything. So I don't know. Maybe he's a...
Justice for Matt Brody.
maybe he's a good guy. I don't actually know, but the game told me he wasn't.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, if it could be one of those things where he's just a good player and people were trying to PvP him. He just ended up winning out.
Mm.
And therefore, like, by winning...
The game, when you hit level 5, does give you a splash screen that tells you how combat works. And it does keep track of, like, who shoots first.
Because what was that one game where it's like there's like a post-apocalyptic event and you're stuck in the city? The Division.
Yes.
Mm. The Division had a similar mechanic, but it was also really buggy. So what I found, because there's that like central PvP area.
Yeah, the black zone or whatever.
Yeah, the black zone. What people will do, because there's also NPCs or whatever that are against you floating around, as those NPCs attack you and you're firing back, what they'll do is they'll like crack, they'll like expect you not to be paying attention. They'll crouch down, get underneath you, and then rise up in the middle of your fire, giving you the wanted score, and then they turn around and kill you.
That's annoying.
So there's some really buggy stuff about that source. So I wonder if Bethesda fixed any of that.
Well, it seemed like, again, for combat to really register as like mutual combat, for damage to register normally, you both have to shoot each other. Right. If somebody shoots you, it's like a reduced damage. It's regular damage once you start shooting back.
Oh, okay.
When does this come out of beta?
This comes out on the 14th of November. To get in the beta, you have to pre-order. I don't know if any of my other friends are getting it, but like, I really kind of hope they do now. Mm. It made a big impression on me. I liked it a lot more than I thought. I was passive, and now I'm really positive.
Nice.
I'm tempted, because I saw like a little on Green Man Gaming, I got an email, you can get like 15% off, and that might just be like a little bit
also
enough for me to buy.
It's also going to have free DLC, which that and Battlefield 5 are doing that. So it's like, cool, $60, I'm in, and that's it. That's my game.
That's nice. Really
good. But then also Red Dead Redemption 2 came out, and it's so big and beautiful.
It is. Well, I'm going to be playing that later. For my single player games, I'm almost done with Morrowind. I know, 2002, I'll get over it. But I just beat the main quest, and I have to do Shadow of the Tomb Raider and Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and then I'm going to do Red Dead.
Odyssey is going to take you forever.
Yeah, no, I'm expecting
it. Someone that's been playing it for the past, like, 2 months. Forever.
I'm expecting it. I might shell out the $10 for the faster leveling. We'll see. But
we'll talk about it in my part.
That's all for me.
Nice.
So, Laura, you said you're very excited about your topics. I'm going to hiccup through the whole thing.
Beautiful.
If you want to get started.
That sounds great. Yeah. So I don't have one centralized story today, but I am going to be talking about a theme of food news. I, like Colin, was having a bit of a problem deciding what I was going to be talking about. If you've listened to any of my episodes, you probably know that I am not the most up-to-date person. I don't necessarily follow the latest trends and
stuff.
You
didn't know what a TV was until you were 30.
That's so true.
Wait, what?
I'm not 30
She
yet.
Wasn't allowed to watch TV as a kid.
Yeah, that is true.
Wow, silence from everybody. Fuck, all right.
I'm just going to keep going. Listen, I thought we were moving through this episode. What the hell happened to that?
I'm derailing it. I'm sorry. Let's press Y to get back on the rails.
You're good. I sent a picture of your guys' faces to ourselves.
Yeah, that did. Screwed up. My
I'm
cat's
surprised
being
cute. At how much that like really threw you off. I just kind of expected you to look at it and keep moving until you had time.
Well, I haven't gotten an attachment in this new version of Skype. And I was like, wait, what's happening?
It takes up the entire page. So you can't not notice it.
I was so surprised because I'm looking at two faces and now I'm looking at two and two halves, which sounds like three, but it's not.
True. Okay. Anyway, so I was cooking dinner tonight about 20 minutes before we started recording, and I was like, oh, I should talk about food stuff. So I'm super prepared. On the bright side.
Oh, God.
Gross. Jesus. All right. I'm going to talk about three food-related or food-adjacent pieces of news. The first one is very important, and apparently I didn't save it as a separate thread, so bear with me one moment.
Colin is dying.
Is he laughing or is he actually throwing up
right
now?
Laughing,
I'm not sure.
I'm laughing and heaving, and the cat is sniffing my mouth as I do this.
I'm so upset right now. Great.
I'm leaning away from my mic to be less disruptive. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so my first topic is that there are new emojis, which very importantly include a better bagel. Some leafy greens.
I read about that, and a
salt shaker, among some others. There are also some non-food related emojis, but apparently there's a bagel with cream cheese on it now, which is supposed to look much better than the original flat looking sad bagel.
It had no cream cheese on it, and people were like, "What am I supposed to smear on this?" I'm like, "What are you? That's a phone. Don't do that."
No, I think, listen, you gotta smear your shit, right? That's how horrible.
Don't do that!
To the older generation, there could be a real issue of, like, is this a bagel? Is this some kind of hipster donut?
Yeah, true.
How am I supposed to know?
How are you supposed to know? Unless you type in bagel and it comes up on your side as a shortcut. How are you gonna know?
It was, okay, I thought it was a little preposterous, as I often get about these kinds of internet uproars, and I gotta say, though, that bagel, I was like, what is the big deal? But then I thought about it. If I had to eat that bagel, I'd be upset.
Yeah, that's true. So that's my first little bit of food related. That was the first thing that popped up on Food and Wine website, which has been very helpful for me today. The second bit of food news that I have is that apparently Oscar Mayer has declared that a hot dog is a sandwich, and they have opened a toll-free hotline for which you can call in and tell them what you think about that.
What? It is not a sandwich.
I've had so many discussions about this, and it depends on perspective, because there are colloquial definitions and culinary definitions, and it depends on where you're coming from. It satisfies criteria depending on which definition you're discussing of sandwich.
Yeah. So they're declaring that it is, in fact, a sandwich, probably because it includes thing in the middle of two pieces of bread stuff.
No, but it's one piece of bread when you get it from the store. It's one piece of bread.
But when you go to Subway,
put something in the middle.
But wait, when you go to Subway, they don't cut that piece of bread in half. They slice it down the middle and hot dog your flabbity meat in there.
Yeah, that's Subway's problem. They're making hot dogs weird. They're not making sandwiches. I'm very passionate about this.
Ryan, I have a fantastic resource for you. You should call 1-833-SNDWICH to tell Oscar Mayer how the fuck you feel.
It's going
to
be in the news tomorrow that local man was arrested for threatening Oscar Mayer hotline. I will burn the factory to the ground. Oh,
wow. This is amazing. So it's an automated hotline, and you can listen to the Oscar Mayer Wiener jingle while you're waiting to leave your voicemail for Oscar Mayer Wiener. So anyway, that's a thing. Hot dogs, apparently a sandwich.
I gotta say, listen, okay, but Oscar Mayer, they get to define what they think their product is. They don't set legal definitions. Now, I know I made an argument that it could be seen either way. That's just to say, like, I see where people are coming from. I do not believe a hot dog is a sandwich, and I say that for fear of Ryan hunting me down. I do not believe it's a sandwich because I think there's a colloquial sensibility about how we make sandwiches, and I do not, like, plop my sandwich contents onto the bread and start eating it. I don't know.
I don't think anything's a sandwich if it doesn't come on two separate pieces. If it's on a bun, I don't think it's a sandwich.
Hold on. Wait. No.
That's how
okay.
I feel.
We got to do something. Laura, what's that number?
Oh, God.
Are
yes. It's
1-866. 1-866.
I'm sorry. 1-833. I'm lying to you.
Fuck. 1-833.
SNDWICH. That's 1-833 Sindwich.
Sindwich. All right.
Why, I just don't understand. Why do we got to put hot dogs in a barrel? Like, why can't they just pickle that thing?
Pickle dogs?
Why do we have to?
Hot dog.
Hot dog. It screams hot dog sandwich.
Hot dog
sandwich. You hear that?
Hot dogs are the sandwiches.
There's no live person at the end of this.
No.
We're giving you 24 hours to change our mind. Starting now. And by staying on the line and leaving us what may be a hasty and entertaining message, you give us consent to use your message in marketing material.
Oh, Ryan, you have to call this.
You will stay anonymous.
I wasn't prepared for this message. I'm recording a podcast.
Tell them you're going to burn down the factory. Tell them they're wrong.
I've been told my friend is going to burn down your factory and that you're wrong. I'm not liable for that threat.
You should probably hang up now.
Okay. I eat a lot of your hot dogs.
Lock her up. Lock her up.
Thank you, and I'm sorry. Ryan, you convinced me there was going to be a live person, and suddenly I had to leave a message.
You just threatened Oscar Mayer Wiener while recording a podcast to burn down their factory.
No, Ryan did it.
I didn't. I told you to do it. Oh, I'm a conspirator. Wait, what exactly did you say to the thing?
I don't know, playback. I said I'm not liable for the threat, but I was told to tell them that.
Oh my god.
I don't know if that holds up in court. This is the last episode of the common beefing program. Laura, I think we stumbled into another common beefing program accidentally.
We're a common porking program, am I right?
That doesn't rhyme.
Beef hot dogs are better. Anyway.
This is the hardest I've laughed during a recording. Jesus,
way better than
Christ.
I was expecting it to be, so thanks for that, guys. I have two more pieces of food-related news, neither of which will be nearly as funny.
No, I can't handle any more.
Oh, man. Now, I know that this episode is coming out on November 9th, so you still have a little bit of time for this. However, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, you cook turkeys. Sometimes that can be a little bit of a challenging meal to make.
In the United States.
In the United States.
If you're in Canada, we are terribly late.
Super late.
Is this another hotline-related story?
Almost, yes.
I was going to say, are you going to talk about the Butterball Turkey Hotline?
I sure am, except that the Butterball Turkey Hotline is coming to Alexa this year.
What?
So while you are elbowed.
Oh my God, let's call them and threaten to burn down their factory. Turkeys are just weird chickens.
You have 24 hours to convince us that we're wrong.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. There's so much stuff to cut out of this episode.
No, no. Everything stays.
It stays in. This is the Subway sandwich of podcasts.
It all comes in. Just a bad idea.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay. All right. I'm coming back. So, so Butterball has a turkey talk line where you can call people and ask them questions if you're cooking your turkey and you don't know what the fuck to do, which is very great. And apparently it's been around since 1981. Now, they pre-recorded a ton of common questions and put it up on Alexa. So now when you're like elbows deep in your turkey, you can ask Alexa how to cook your turkey and for tips and tricks. So if you're not already planning your Thanksgiving meal, go ahead. You have all of the resources available to you. And now you have Alexa on your side as well. You can ask her for things like how long to cook a turkey for however many pounds and whatever else.
I don't know what I'm laughing at. I just don't think the laughing ever stopped.
I don't think it did either. That is by far the hardest I've ever laughed on this podcast. And we've been doing it for over a year. So, all right. My very last bit of news is actually news.
I'm so glad that Oscar Mayer could bring us together.
I know.
Oh,
I have to keep moving on because I have my one last bit of information here, which is super important and super timely because this hits our streaming service of Netflix on November 9th. Hey guys, today you can watch the 9th series of The Great British Baking Show.
Fuck yes! Ooh.
So super excited about that. Today that you are listening to this or after, because it comes out on the 9th and it will be on the 9th. Great British Baking Show is coming back. It's like my favorite shit in the world. So that is all my food news.
I'm glad because I just finished Daredevil. It was very stressful, so I think I need Great British Baking Show to balance that out.
Oh, I need to start. I haven't actually seen Daredevil yet.
Season 3 is perfect.
Oh, good. They canceled Luke Cage and they canceled Iron Fist.
I get Iron Fist. I don't get Luke Cage. Luke Cage 2 was fucking phenomenal. Anyway,
the second season, me and my girlfriend both believe it was a little bit of a mess.
Oh, I liked it. Not as much as the Cottonmouth stuff, but I think it was, I like thematic stuff and I think it handled that okay. Laura, you look like you're about to say something.
No, I burped. I'm done now.
Oh boy.
Ryan, it is now your turn. What have you got? Who else would you like to burn down this week?
Oh, man.
No, and I don't want to burn down Project Stream. I just want to scare you about Project Stream.
Oh, God.
Is it the future of gaming or the end of as we know it?
Why not both?
So I was probably one of potentially tens of thousands of people that got led onto Project Stream. For the people that don't know what Project Stream is, it is Google's initiative to try to attack server-side gaming. It's something that I've seen here and there for the past couple of years. There's always been a cell phone like app that if you pay blah, blah, blah amount a month, you can like play Call of Duty on your phone or stuff like that. Most people's relation with server-side gaming is like the Steam Link, or I think there's various programs.
Doesn't PlayStation Now do it?
Yeah, like PlayStation Now. I think Microsoft has something kind of like that. Most people, when they use it, it's like, oh, you're just connecting your powerful desktop computer to your phone or like some more mobile, less powerful laptop. But what they're trying to do is kind of figure out the kinks of true server-side gaming, where everything, all of the stored files, all the processes, everything is happening on some big server, potentially hundreds of miles away from you, and you're basically just playing through your Chrome tab. And that's how it works. And I have to say, it works surprisingly well.
That's good.
I've played most of the Assassin's Creed games. I don't think I've only played most of the original trilogy. I don't think I played the one where they're like in Britain, because that sounded dumb.
It got boring.
Yeah, but I played Origins, and my computer handled Origins like okay. Like if I ran too quickly somewhere or was riding a horse, like objects would load in a little slow.
Yeah.
I'm playing Odyssey, I don't know necessarily that's just on their end or on Project Stream's end, but I've had zero issues with like objects loading in late. The graphics are great. I mean, you do need pretty high bandwidth. I think the minimum is 25 megabits.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed like if my girlfriend is like watching Hulu or watching Netflix, the quality will dip. But the weird thing is it's the quality. So basically like the graphics get poor, but
it doesn't actually have latency.
It does not increase the latency as far as I can tell.
That's good. Because I can't even play Halo Reach online without having to wait 3 seconds before my bullet goes forward.
Yeah, so it's really solid. I don't know how it would handle multiplayer. That's the whole other probably like
Halo games. Yeah.
But it works really, really well. And so that's why I could see this being the future of gaming, but I could also see this being the end of it, like the end of gaming as we know it. And here's why. They partnered with Ubisoft so they could use Assassin's Creed Odyssey, a big AAA game of like the current generation that they can use as a testbed, so like people will sign up and use their stuff. I'm sure they're stripping a lot of information from my computer. I'm sure they're stripping a lot of information what I do in the game. But I think there is a reason why Ubisoft, even though this basically came out a week or two after their game released, decided to do this and potentially lost out on tens of thousands of sales. It's because this is the logical conclusion for the concept, for two concepts that Ubisoft is really trying to aim for. One is games as a service, and the second one is DRM over everything. So games as a service, they really want you, they don't want games to be merchandise. They don't want you to buy a game, play a game for a little while, put it on your desk, forget about it. They want you to play a game forever. And if it's easy, like all I have to do is log into this thing, tap a button, and my game plays. I don't have to worry about storage on my computer. I don't have to worry about the graphics on my computer. It's good. Because they also want to sell you stuff. Like I think you previously talked about, oh, I'll buy the XP boost.
Yeah.
They really want you to do that. Because leveling up in Odyssey takes so much longer than it does in Origins. Mm. I've been playing maybe 30 hours. I'm maybe level 15.
Jesus.
What's max level?
I have no idea. Really high.
Woof.
Like probably like 100.
Yeah, no, and the new Assassin's Creed games are much more like action RPG. Like the weapons you can use are limited by your level. And in Origins, I even felt that was pretty slow. But by 30 hours, I was like more than halfway done with the campaign.
Well, the thing is, like the only way to get reasonable amounts of XP are to complete mission.
Yep.
That's it. If you discover new places, you get a little decent sized chunk. If you do some random things, you get a chunk. For defeating an enemy, you get like, I don't even know if you get XP, like unless it's like another mercenary. There's a whole other bunch of dynamics. It's a lot of systems in the game, and there's a lot to do. It's crazy how much stuff there is to do. It's really fun. You can definitely, after playing it for a while, really like if all games are like this, it will be terrible. Because Ubisoft is really hard on the DRM in previous games. Like I've played with Ubisoft, if you lose internet connection, I can't remember which one was, it may have been way back when, but they'll actually stop you from playing the game until it regains internet connection. I think they've lightened up on that a little bit, but
That stance is what almost is like what tanked the Xbox One when it launched, because that was the original premise. Everyone was like, nah, fuck that. And it got off to terrible sales.
It's insane. It gives Ubisoft a reasonable excuse. Well, like you need that internet connection. It's how you play the game.
Yep.
Like this is Ubisoft's dream. They are really scared of piracy, and it makes sense. They have a lot of games pirated, probably. Maybe more than EA and all the other ones, just because of the type of games they have.
Well, also, next to Bethesda, they probably make, like, the most just straight-up go-play single-player games. They've pivoted recently.
So there's nothing to like guard against. Like most multiplayer games, if you don't have a legit copy, you just can't play multiplayer. What's the point? Hmm. So for them, like they're really big on DRM. And this, the reason I like it so much, I didn't have to buy it. But if I had bought Assassin's Creed Odyssey and I could only play it when I had a super slick internet connection above 25 megabits, which even my current connection is like the super high speed one during the day, it can like lag down below that super easy.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. It's an impressive use of the technology, but it's also, I think it could be, if it works out really well, it may be a bad thing for the consumer because you're going to be very limited in the ways you can play these games.
Pat, our co-podcaster, left a listener question on our page saying Microsoft just announced a new game streaming service that works called xCloud. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on a system in which games you think will be absolutely trash on the proposed mobile controls. Also, what's the likelihood that the next Xbox console being named the Xbox One S Max? One XS Max. Better yet. Okay, cool. That was a joke.
But, it depends. I think PUBG like works out fine enough that people play it all the time on mobile.
Well, the one premise about Microsoft's xCloud thing is that they are going to have, they have like a universal baked-in control scheme for touch controls. That is just, it's like an extra layer to the emulator quote. It's not emulation, but the same way an emulator translates to whatever platform you're using, they're doing that. It's not up to each individual game to do that. Hmm. So I'm curious to see how, but actually talking about both Pat's question and yours, I'm a member of Microsoft's Game Pass, which is their service on Xbox.
Free games. Yeah, I have PS Plus, so you got to get free games. Yeah.
Well, Game Pass is a little different. It's $10 a month. That's it. So Game Pass is just a library of games that if you pay $10 a month, you have those games. And all of Microsoft's exclusives are going to be on this going forward. My friend just got an Xbox One with their financing thing, pays $20 a month, and has Xbox Live and Game Pass for 2 years.
That's pretty
on
cool.
Her Xbox. Like, it's amazing. And I'm a big fan of it, but Game Pass doesn't go that extra mile to say, like, it isn't running locally. I like the service side, I like the payment, but I think I agree with you that if I didn't have local control over that, I'd probably be upset. And yeah. And I'm also playing huge games like Forza Horizon 4, just crazy open world with tons to do, but I'm also playing tiny games like Dendara, so I think that balance is key.
Another issue too is I used to have a Blizzard account that I had since high school. It got stolen by what I assume are Russian or Brazilian trolls. And that's the two common like markets for stealing of Blizzard stuff.
Yeah. Gaslighting over here. Gaslighting the Oscar Mayer factory.
But yeah, so it got stolen. And my Steam account, I'm super paranoid that one day I'm going to try and log into my Steam account and I won't be able to because somebody's changed the password. And I'm going to lose out on the miserable thousands of dollars I've invested in Steam since I was like 18 years old.
Yeah.
But like, I'm pretty solid with my PS4. Like all the games I have for my PS4, like are pretty much solid copies that I can put anywhere at any time. So if I lose that PS4, I'll just put those games into another PS4 and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
It does scare me so I do think probably the next generation of consoles are really going to try and sell that. They're going to be a little teeny box like a Steam Link.
Mm. Yeah.
There's going to be one version that's basically just a Steam Link and the other one's going to be a hardware copy.
Yeah.
But the Steam Link one's going to be like $100 as opposed to $300. And then the generation after that, you're not going to be able to get the hardware version. And I think another scary thing to think about is like a lot of internet companies are trying to think of ways to make more money. So they're like, I know in some markets like Comcast, you have a hard data cap where if you go over, you have to pay extra money per gigabyte.
Blech.
It kind of just depends on the local law. So that would really suck if you had to basically weigh against, if I play for an hour, that's going to be what, like 3 gigs of data, but I also need to use it for like homework and school and all this other stuff.
Well, I think this is just totally my thought on this, that as things go further into the future, things are generally going to become more and more decentralized. And we often look at that as everything's going to run off of servers. But the flip side of that is, there will probably also be, at least until we reach some sort of singularity in technology, there will also probably be more local stuff to the user. So like having machines in our house to run the things, like the idea of like a central computer that does everything, kind of like a Starship in Star Trek. So I feel like right now the money motivation for publishers is to get behind this and make this work so they control everything. But I don't think having a local machine is going to go away. And I don't say that to be like, oh, no, they could never do it. But I think that as we've seen with like the loot box thing, like the game industry, if they push too hard in one direction and people don't like it, then people won't buy it. And
we have to rage. We have to burn down Microsoft's factory.
Jesus Christ. I basically think that it's going to snap back, that we might go lean pretty hard in that direction, but then there will be a choice for everybody. Kind of like, you know, right now I care about the highest graphics. I would not want to be limited to bandwidth for my personal gaming experience.
Yeah.
But I would also love to take Forza on my phone, and if I have a shitty LTE connection, whatever, I don't play right then. So
exactly, yeah, I guess it doesn't really
like for me, it would work both ways, and I feel like the market will just polarize a little bit to cater to those two things. So in that way, I am both excited and afraid for the reasons you have mentioned. The DRM thing did not occur to me, and that makes total sense.
On the brighter side, I have another smaller story. So Dungeons & Dragons Art and Arcana, a visual history came out.
Yes! Critical Role's in there, and I'm so excited.
It is dope.
Cool.
I got the collector edition because I'm an idiot, and it's like super good. It's really well put together. The art in there is incredible, and it does a really good job of like explaining the history, like way back when, where it's Gary Gygax and a couple other random guys like
That's
drawing
awesome.
Pictures in a garage and trying to put together a game. So, and it also displays a lot of like the first gen art that they did. They're basically paying family members like dollar bills to like, hey, can you like draw a dragon? Like, just draw. It's fine. It doesn't have to look good. It just has to kind of look like a dragon. and like some of the passages talk about how difficult it is, because at that point there wasn't a whole lot of like, nobody had drawn an orc. They said at that point in like the early 60s. Nobody was like, oh, what does an orc look like?
That's so
they
had fair.
To
like,
yeah.
Yeah, they had to sit down and like look through the description and be like, what the fuck does it
mean? Yeah, well, because Tolkien made it up. Like, that is like completely a fiction of him. And yeah, there's nothing. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, nobody
had. That's really cool.
Yeah, so nobody had like a real, so they just kind of like made it up as they go. And like the visual representations we have for orcs and like probably not as much dragons, but all these other various like fantasy creatures kind of stem from Dungeons and Dragons a little bit.
Yeah.
It also goes through the history of like the demonic panic, the satanic panic.
Yeah.
And how that actually helped sales a little bit because people were talking about it, and any publicity is like good publicity in a certain extent, even though like they were getting like flyers about how they hailed Satan and like what to look for. They goes through a bunch of like wild passages of like some kid disappeared in Caltech's underground for like a few weeks or something like that. And they all thought it was like due to Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh,
and
no.
A cult worship.
I didn't really believe how bad it was. And then I've been watching The Goldbergs, which is set in the 80s. And like the kid was playing D&D, and then his mom comes down and starts screaming at him for worshiping Satan. I'm like, wow.
It's real.
Wow. Okay.
It happened to me and my brother. Me and my older brother. We played.
Yeah.
Like this is when I was six. I told the story before. Like,
yeah, you did.
Our mom found out that we were playing, I think it was the Red Box, because I think it was second edition, something like that. It wasn't third yet. So it was either first or second edition. I think it was Red Box. She found out that we were playing Dungeons and Dragons at a neighbor kid's, and we got yelled at for Satan worshipers. Like, I will not have Satan worshipers in my house. Like,
wow.
I'm a little angry.
She's gonna burn that game to the ground.
and we stopped playing. I think my older brother played a little bit when we moved to North Carolina, and I didn't touch it for, oh God, like, I don't know, like 10 years, not until I got to like college. And then I almost played a game or two there, and then I didn't really hit hard until after college, like when a friend invited me to do stuff. And now I know like my little brother is playing it in college right now. Like, he's super into it, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Dungeons & Dragons is awesome. I just started a campaign recently with some of my coworkers, and the DM is an original first edition player, and he's got the original first edition DM screen, which is really awesome. And then he had a whole bunch of figurines back from way back when.
They were, like, lead.
Mm-hmm. They're heavy lead figurines that we're playing with. It is really cool.
Yeah. Oh my God. So good. But yeah, like, I would say if you are a D&D fan and you have a little bit of cash to burn, the Art and Arcana, A Visual History, it's dope. They have like a collector's edition, which I was able to get on sales on like $60, which isn't terrible. And they have like a normal, which I think is actually has better artwork.
For an art book, it's really not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a, like a normal, the normal one. quote unquote, I think it's like 30. And actually the screen, the cover is actually way cooler. It's like a little art piece into of itself.
Nice.
Yeah, it's excellent. I would use it as a coffee table book, but my girlfriend would probably not like that. And I would need to buy the non-special edition to do that because I want to ruin my special edition. But.
Well, you could, you know, you could get a second copy. I get that. You should get one for each.
Yeah, I need a second copy for people to put their grubby hands on. Yeah. My grubby hands are for the special.
I have an Xbox One in my living room and an Xbox One X in my bedroom. So
it's true.
I get it.
But yeah, so that's my little side story.
Nice.
But yeah, must buy. Very good.
Very cool.
Also, side note, I was so disappointed that I was not on the Critical Role episode that I didn't listen to the episode because I was like sour about it.
Wow.
I was like, I can't even listen to it.
Oh, wait, what happened? What was it? You went to?
I wasn't on the Critical Role episode.
What do you mean you weren't on it?
I wasn't part of it. You guys talked about Critical Role and I wasn't on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about because they had a live episode recently.
Oh, no.
I was supposed to be the surprise character.
I wasn't. No. That would be fucking amazing.
I'm going to burn Matt Mercer to the ground.
Oh, no. Like, Critical Role, like, there was a dry period.
Gross.
After I got really into it, I went to this small little shop kind of like far away. I had to take a bus that was through my school or my, I guess when after I graduated, it's still my school, but they changed the bus service around so I couldn't go anymore. So it was like a year between like getting really into it and then like deciding like, fuck it, I'm going to DM my own game and force people to play with me. and like Critical Role sustained me.
Yeah, dude. It's
Jesus.
So good. I'm almost done with the first campaign. And I'm caught up on the second.
I think I'm all up to date, I think.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to one, but I listened to several episodes from two. And I just don't keep up because I can't listen to 4-hour episodes every week. It's just not feasible, which is sad because I like it.
There are some weeks where I listen to like 12 hours and then there's some weeks that I don't listen at all.
Yeah.
It's easy to set up. So what you do is you have a very devoted long-term relationship with a girlfriend.
Good start.
And then have her go to boot camp
and
have nothing to do.
Oh, see, how I did it is that I got engaged to a doctor who's still in residency, and so he's never home. It's perfect.
Potato, potato.
Exactly.
I have two cats.
So I feel like you have all of the time to listen to Critical Role.
Yeah, what are you talking about? You should be just like mainlining.
I gotta wrangle you nerds. Are you kidding me?
What do you mean? We don't need wrangling. Just kidding.
They have a podcast now.
Yeah, I've never watched it. I listened to it. I listened to the show. But I also listen to like 7 other podcasts and I make between 1 and 5 podcasts now. So we'll see how that works
out. And you have Podcat. Who is behind you? I can see Podcat.
Yeah, you can see him, can't you?
I can see all of
that little fucking boy looking at me so cute.
Oh, he's got such a good face.
This must be thrilling for the listener.
Burn down the listeners. What?
Burn down.
Listen, okay, anybody listening, just imagine a cat looking at you. Okay, you feel that warm, fuzzy feeling just from imagining it? That's what I feel right now. All right, so I think
we're probably move on now.
Yeah, we're about done with this section.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. All right, listeners and co-podcasters, welcome now to the ratings. Typically, the ratings are a way of me deciding who did the best job, but in an episode like this, we all share equally, and we're going to each say the story we thought was the best.
At the same time.
3, 2, 1, go!
The makes a great pod.
Story that gets the most votes wins the Gold Star Student Award. And I don't think there is any way that the Gold Star Student Award isn't a hot dog this week.
It's a hot dog.
Or
normally I wouldn't choose my own thing, but yeah, it's definitely hot dog.
But wait a sec.
It's hot dog.
Or is the Gold Star Student Award a sandwich?
Oh boy, shut your face.
So I gotta finish putting the Gold Star Student
Award. I think the Gold Star Student Award is a wiener. And that's my contribution for the week.
Okay, so we're each going to say who we thought was the best. Now, this puts me in an impossible situation because I infinitely enjoyed Ryan's topics more on, like, you know, an academic, how it affects my life sort of level.
Nah, man, fuck that. Hot dog all the way.
Hot dog all the way. Laura, you got my vote.
Yay! Thanks, Colin.
All right, Laura, you go next. You can't vote for yourself. For whom are you voting?
I would vote for myself, except I can't. And so I have to vote for Ryan this week because D&D and Arcana and a little bit of Critical Role there at the end.
My sweeping tale of how I set up a happy life with Shadow Dancer did not compel you?
Actually, it super did, and I really hope that you continue to tell me about your friendship with him.
That's true. I am super duper interested in this relationship.
Shadow Dancer, if you somehow magically listen to this podcast, can you please email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com? That'd be great.
Also, counterpoint, if he is listening to this, Colin, you should be worried, because he definitely wants your skin.
Oh, Jesus. Ryan, what's your vote?
Wieners all the way, bro.
I'm always so angry. I complained about this in like my last episode with Genevieve, where like fucking dude, we go through the whole episode and I'm thinking, listen to all this funny shit we said, but then someone says something at the end of the episode that just skadoobies it all, and we were having a good episode and you said wieners all the way. Like, fuck, that's it. How is it anything else?
Not Subway is making hot dogs weird.
God damn it. Okay, so
been a great
Laura,
episode.
Laura, you have gotten the golden hot dog this week. Woo! Try not to take that the wrong way. So we've talked a lot about us, listeners. Now I want to talk about you. So let me scroll down on here real quick. We try to raffle off a chance to pick an episode topic. Now, next week is going to be a listener-selected episode, and we're going to have another one after that. So I have a list of people who have engaged with our stuff on social media. I did not do a great job of keeping track of this list, so I'm going to roll a d20. Actually, I left my dice in my room. Do either of you happen to have dice right in front of you?
I have some.
Do I have dice right in front of me? Who are you talking to?
Mine are not within arm reach, but I was close. I can see them from here.
So you're going to roll a d20.
Were they supposed to wait?
Well, I was going to say that we re-roll
Yo,
if it's an 18.
Yo, what kind of dice are those? It sounds like you dropped a fucking, like,
weight. Do you have metal dice, Ryan?
I do have metal
dice. I have metal dice, too. It's so good.
Straight from China.
I have 17 names here. You have rolled, 16 names. So if you do 17, 18, 19, or 20, we re-roll. What did you get?
I rolled a 10.
Ooh.
Jonas Hassan, who I believe is acquainted with Ryan and Patrick.
Oh, hey.
He is. He's a former coworker.
So Jonas Hassan, thank you for engaging with our posts. I think he gave us a nice old thumbs up. We'd like some more of those, and to incentivize you, we're going to let you pick a topic for a future episode, and you're going to force us to talk about it, and it's going to go okay. I felt so bad because one of my friends from work picked Dota, and Ryan, you were in that Dota episode.
That
oh, man, I felt so bad. Not just that you trashed Dota, but that, like, none of you cared about Dota, and I was, like, sad. It's fine.
Did he listen to the episode? What did he think?
I don't recall. He's not okay. He's a
single tier.
Yeah. I didn't want to ask because I was like, hey, thanks for giving us this thing we hate.
Hey, this game is bad, and if you like playing it, that means you're probably a dick.
Yeah. Okay.
Not really. Sorry.
So that about wraps it up. Thank you for listening to objectively the funniest episode of the Common Geeking Program.
True.
I've been your host, Colin Ketchin. You can find me online at Sonic Colin K or in a log cabin with Shadow Dancer talking about Star Trek tattoos. How about you guys? Who are you and where are you?
Oh, hey, I'm Laura Kramer and I'm totally at home right now. You can find me on the Facebook page for the Common Geeking Program, although I am considering reactivating a Twitter account that I had for about 3 weeks to creep on Ben and Adam, who do the Greatest Generation
podcast.
Yes. And then I got rid of it because I literally never looked at it. But I'm thinking about bringing it back, so I'll let you know if that happens.
That could be fun. You probably have a less offensive Twitter history than Ryan over here.
I sure do, because there is nothing in it.
Hey, it's not that bad. I'm Ryan Mossbarger, and you can probably find me in a van racing towards an Oscar Mayer factory. The load full of gasoline and oily rags. Or potentially, if you want to get a hold of me in a more digital format, I'm on Twitter at Ryan underscore MOSSB. Get it while you can, because daddy's going to jail.
Oh, jeez.
All right, next. Oh, God. I'm surprised that my whole burrito hasn't
got little burp just
in the middle of the laughter. This episode's a wreck.
You know, this is why I'm part of the Common Geeking program. This is it. This whole episode.
So the next, this next, Laura, you're doing the next episode. What is it?
I am actually hosting one of our previously mentioned listener pick episodes. Rich Baldez gave us the topic of The Expanse. So we are talking about The Expanse next week. We may or may not have already recorded that episode. But yeah, great show.
Ugh. All right, cool. So I think that that's it for us. Also, I've begun the process of making the website a little nicer. We have some fun projects on the way, and that's where they're going to be. But also, I'm trying to get cast info up there and gold star stuff. Check it out if you care about us. Laura says that she's only on the Facebook, but she's on the website,
yeah,
too. Ryan's not, because I don't want to be liable for the arson. But that's
hey man, that's on you. That's not on me.
Hey, remember that time when you called and left Oscar Mayer Wiener a threatening voicemail?
Oh, okay.
The only proof is this podcast. You actually have a digital recording somewhere in the Oscar Mayer mainframe of all places of you threatening them with our
stuff. So thank you all for listening, corroborating witness accounts. Tune in next week. Thank you for everything. I'm done. I'm fucking done.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program is hosted by Colin Ketchin, joined by Laura Kramer and Ryan Mossbarger. This episode is sponsored by your local fire department, defending small businesses and large ones from Ryan's angry fervor. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, and featuring original music, also by me. In 1 week, we will be returning with our next listener-selected episode all about The Expanse. If you want to pick an episode yourself, just engage with us online on Facebook, and you can win your own chance to do just that. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to this.
I'm pretty pumped for this upcoming episode. I feel like I have fixed all of my audio issues.
So I'm very excited.
I installed new fans in my computer.
That is some dedication right there.
Witness the audio quality in ASMR type noises.
We're going to clap at 350, all right? Real quick. We're coming up quick on it.
I'm ready. Oh, 5 seconds.
No, I don't have it open.
Three, oh, God. I'm so sorry.
Two. One.